If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Good evening, America. This is Sam Thurman. I'm your host. You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Joining me also is my co-host, Cliff Stewart, as well as Ethel Lopez. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hey, doing good, Sam. Wonderful. Excited to be here.
All right. Hey, we got a really good show tonight. You know, we've had some good shows over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, last week we had the exoneree Lamont Banks, who has been exonerated here in the state of Colorado. And that was a very compelling story of, you know, how a young man spent, lost basically, you know, 7 years of his life after being wrongly convicted of something that he did not do.
Yeah.
And on tonight's program, we're going to have LaWanna Clark. And she is a young lady from Colorado who was wrongly convicted, and she is closely tied to the IRP6 story. So, you know, we're going to look forward to getting into that story. And along with LaWanna, we will also have Judith Housley. She is a forensics handwriting expert who did some analysis work in LaWanna's case. And so, you know, we're going to really dissect that and again, examine how you get rogue investigators, overzealous, overreaching prosecutors involved in situations, and it just totally messes up people's lives. And so, you know, we're looking forward to doing that. Let me jump in here and give our disclaimer. You know, Cliff and I and Ethel are not attorneys, and Just Cause Coast to Coast is not a program that provides legal legal advice, I should say. We do provide our opinions about things.
Absolutely.
The opinions expressed during the program of the host and the guests are not necessarily those of ConservativeNationMedia.com, so please contact your legal professionals for your specific legal needs. And as always, we want to thank you for tuning in tonight. Callers, if you'd like to call into the program, I think, you know, this would be a good program for you to call into. We've had a lot of callers over the last few shows. The call-in number for tonight is 718-305-7176. 718-305-7176. And, you know, one of the things that we like to do here, Cliff, we use the IRP6 case as a high-level case study, so to speak, and we explain how, you know, different things that occurred in the IRP6 case occurs in other cases. And we want to be sure that people are aware of these types of things. And, you know, it's an eye-opener when you look at the fact that, you know, like in the IRP6 case, for instance, where you got 200 pages of a transcript that's missing. And, you know, how can that kind of thing happen, Cliff? And, you know, with that being said, we're going to change the format just a little bit. We're going to get more into the IRP6 case so we can feed right into LaWanna's case and her story. But on the 200 pages, Cliff, where are we standing right now with the IRP6 case?
Well, as we mentioned last week, we sat down with Mark Garagos and got his take on how he was going to go after the court reporter Darlene Martinez and these over 200 pages of missing transcripts that are in question. And for those listeners who may not be up to speed, these 200 pages of missing transcript pretty much outline where Judge Christine Arguello compels one of the IRP6 to take the stand and, you know, against his will, with the threat to close his case if one of them did not get on the stand or present another witness. And that part of the trial is not available, so she says. Those 200 pages, at first they said they were destroyed, they're not available. We found in the transcript that Judge Christine Arguello says she's not going to release them, she's not going to expedite them. She does not see a reason that the defendants need these 200 pages of trial transcript when everybody knows, we would hope everybody knows, if you go to court and you get convicted of something, that your appeal is based on only what is in that transcript. And so right now we have attorney Mark Garagos. He's working on that. They did have a motion that came back today they're batting that back and forth. You know, the government is trying to duck and dodge and hide from what's really going on. But I believe they really have a fight on their hands.
And Cornell Johnson out of Denver, he's also a part in that motion on behalf of a just cause, correct?
Right, absolutely. You know, Cornell is offering his services, and he's assisting, Mark and Company, Mark Garagos and Company, and they're doing a great job at going after this court report.
Okay, and then some of that is actually going to tie right into the appeal for the IRP-6, and the attorney there is Attorney Gwendolyn Solomon, and I know she's working closely also. Just to kind of be sure that everyone's on the same page and proceeding, you know, one thing is going to feed into the other. I believe the way that's going to work.
Yeah, that should be how it works out. And so once all that comes tumbling down, the government really won't have a leg to stand on, and we'll see how they try to squirm their way out of it.
Well, we're looking forward to that. And you're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Tonight, we're going to have LaWanna Clark on the program, and we're going to have Judith Housley on the program. Cliff, you know, a lot of times folks ask, well, why haven't people heard about the IRP-6 case? And, you know, thank goodness for social media. We're getting connections with a lot of folks out there and getting a lot of traction. We have our shows here that we're doing. We're also getting ready to expand with regard to that. The other day, we were on with or recorded a segment with Vito Colucci. He's a private investigator out of Connecticut, and he has a show called Crime Time. And, I think that's going to air this Sunday, right?
Right, right. He airs once a week. He deals with a lot of really high-profile cases. And, one that we talked to him about is the case of the Kennedy cousin, Stephen Cagle, and how –
Michael Skagel.
Michael Skagel. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Michael Skagel.
I don't know why I keep calling him Stephen, but I do. But yeah, what we talking to him, we're finding out that the things that we see in the IRP 6 case, it does not just apply to them. We're finding this a systemic problem across the entire judicial system, that you have these rogue prosecutors, that's these right. rogue judges, and he even brought to the attention the fact that even the defense attorneys are a part of this. And when none of them do their jobs, when they all come together and they collude to basically bring a person down, or you have the defense attorneys, like we'll talk about in LaWanna Clark's case, how her defense attorney actually rubbing shoulders with the prosecutors,
is
good friends with the prosecutors, and when you have all these things, they come together and they just really make a stink pie.
And, Vito, he was a law enforcement officer in Connecticut, and then he is now a private investigator. And, he was sharing his story of how, he basically brought down an entire town, or was part to that effort, as far as, some corruption that was going on in an entire town. So, that was a good show that folks should look on our website, www.a-justcause. We're going to post a link out there. To Vito's show, which will be coming up on Sunday. And then also, Cliff, we have, like I said, things that are going to be coming up next week, where we're going to also have other folks on the show. So, again, the call-in number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. So what's going on in the news with regard to judicial injustice right now?
Wow. Well, Ethel brought up a really, really interesting article about, just the way that prosecutors and judges, the way that they go after, they do their job not based on justice, but they do their job based on pensions, on what they're going to get out of it, on how their career and their retirement is going to be laid out. So, Ethel, if you can elaborate on that, go ahead.
Yeah, actually, it is what is called an open letter to the Arizona Republic editor to help fight prosecutor corruption. And this letter was written by Mike Brosnahan, and it's dated today's date. And in this letter, this is some weird stuff here, and it's thanking them for exposing the corruption in Arizona. He's talking about the prosecutorial misconduct regarding what seems to be two unrelated stories currently running in their newspapers. Okay, and they're talking about pension spiking is one of those stories. Now, he says in this letter that in actuality, those two stories are interrelated. And the evidence, the deep-seated and planned corruption that guides the three branches of Arizona's government is, you know, and one of those big things in that is talking about profiteering and how the judges and the different ones are profiting from you know, people going to prison and getting these convictions. So that's the thing that really got me with that. It talks about, you know, the people employed by the government agencies are oftentimes more concerned with their pensions than their salaries because the plan, they plan on earning two or three pensions.
Wow.
And retire as millionaires, unnoticing it to the public. You know, so with their pensions?
Yeah.
Right, so the more convictions they get, the better pension they receive. That even outside of their, you know, outside of their salaries that they get for wrongly convicting people, sometimes, and
wow,
some of them, we're not going to, you know, as we say, throw the baby out with it. But
and that's true.
It just shows how the whole system, you know, is just sick from the head down.
And you know, Cliff, you know, I was reading some of the motion that came back on the IRP 6 case. And there's even a little bit of that in there where they're talking about how the court reporter is compensated. And when I read that, I just thought, man, this is just really out of control. You know, that's why, you know, as a just cause, we need to, you know, we're going to be continuing to bang on doors in Washington, D.C. and continue to reach out to people and get exposure and bring, you know, more awareness to these types of things. And that's what a just cause is about. That's what a just cause coast to coast is going to be about as well.
We all talk a lot about Washington, but we never hear much from the people in Washington. That changes now on conservativenationmedia.com as we welcome the voice of the people with U.S. Army intelligence veteran Victoria Bingham. She's a mom, a veteran, a business owner, and a patriot with a unique insight you've come to expect from conservativenationmedia.com. If you're as concerned with the direction in which our country is moving as we are, you won't want to miss The Voice of the People with Victoria Bingham, Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
And you're tuned to a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. The call-in number is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. We're right here on conservativenationmedia.com. You can join us also in the chat room. And, you know, we like to just see what kind of questions you might have, join into the conversation. Hey, another story that's in the news is Ryan Ferguson. I think a lot of people are familiar with that one. You know, his case was just vacated. His conviction was just vacated. And he spent nearly 10 years already in prison for a murder that he says he didn't commit. And he was sentenced to 40 years back in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this is a case that has been getting a lot of exposure on programs like 48 Hours and so forth. So, you know, that one we want to continue to follow,
mm-hmm,
and we want to stay on top of that as well.
Yeah.
So, Cliff, let's start talking about the IRP 6. Let's give a little bit of background on the IRP 6 case, and then that should, I think we got a hard break coming up here in a couple of minutes, but then we'll just continue that conversation. It should lead us right into, you know, how LaWanna Clark got wrapped into this whole thing. And spent 6 months in federal prison on perjury charges, and that was a wrongful conviction. That's what we talk about here on A Just Cause, is wrongful convictions and exonerations. Also, later in the program, we're going to be bringing in Judith Housley, who is a forensics handwriting expert who did some analysis in LaWanna's case. So let's start off talking about, you know, giving a high level on the IRP 6 case, and we'll bring LaWanna in here in a little bit.
Yeah, what we want to basically let you know is the IRP Solutions, you know, was rated by the FBI for allegedly, you know, scamming staffing companies. What really happened is this is a case based on corporate debt. IRP Solutions engaged these staffing companies to help them to develop their flagship software, the Case Investigative Lifecycle, commonly known as SILC. The sales didn't go as they wanted them to, as quickly as they wanted them to, and they ended up getting railroaded by the federal government. We'll get more into that here shortly. We'll be back in a few seconds on A Just Cause, AJC Radio, Coast to Coast, education, awareness, and information about the judicial injustice.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. You're tuned to a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. Our call-in number tonight is 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176. You know, you join us each week right here on conservativenationmedia.com every Tuesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And so we thank you for joining us. You can also follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. We got a great program lined up for tonight. Cliff, we have LaWanna Clark joining us in the studio. We will have Judith Housley calling in here shortly. Let's get back. Before the break, we were talking about the IRP6. And, you know, the IRP6 case is a federal case that a lot of folks have not heard of. I think more and more people are hearing about it. Like we were talking about earlier, we were on Vito Colucci's show, and it's going to be airing on Sunday. This past Sunday, I was on Reverend Pinckney's show, and, you know, folks can look at our website and get links to those. But, you know, folks will ask, well, who are the IRP6? And we all often, you know, have to bring them up to speed. You know, the IRP6 are IT professionals. They were part of a startup company. The IRP6 consists of Gary Walker, David Banks, Clinton Stewart, Dave Zappolo, Kendrick Barnes, as well as Demetrius Harper. And as you were stating, Cliff, before the break, IRP was developing software for law enforcement at the federal, state, and local law enforcement levels. And this software was called Case Investigative Lifecycle, and we normally refer to it as CILC, C-I-L-C. And IRP Solutions received a phone call back in 2003, from the Department of Homeland Security. And, you know, Cliff, that was right on the heels of 9-11.
Right.
And the 9-11 Commission had basically said that, you know, law enforcement agencies had no way of collaborating, didn't have any way of sharing information. So Gary, he is the architect of this software. He was developing this software that was just blowing people away. We went to Washington, D.C. Gary and David did a demo. And I always say they hit it out of the park. They blew it away from the standpoint that the Department of Homeland Security really liked what they saw. And so Gary and David and the rest of IRP made a conscious decision that we need to ramp this thing up, need to ramp it up quick. And so in order to do that, engage the services of staffing companies who could bring in IT professionals who could help finish developing and modifying the CILC software and doing the appropriate testing. also at IRP were retired federal agents. You know, they were right there on staff. And so, business didn't close as quickly as you thought. And so that's when IRP got behind on some of the invoices. And you had what happened, Cliff? I mean, you had one of the folks at one of the staffing companies
right.
kind of get this groan and start saying, hey, I'm gonna bring you down.
Exactly. You got Susan Holland with ETI Professional. She sends these emails to Demetrius Harper saying how, you know, she's going to destroy his life. She's going to bring him down, his company, IRP Solutions. She's going to reach out to her, you know, her contacts in the government. You know, basically she's saying she's got these friends in high places that she's going to utilize to bring Demetrius Harper and the rest of IRP 6 down. And what we found out in our research as a Just Cause is that she reached out to Greg Goldberg, who is a one of the partners at Holland & Hart Law Firm up in Denver, Colorado. Well, Susan Holland reaches out to Greg Goldberg at Holland & Hart. Greg Goldberg was previously an assistant U.S. attorney in the Denver office, and he worked with Matthew Kirsch, who is the assistant U.S. attorney up there, who prosecuted this case. Well, as the case rolled on, you know, and Matthew Kirsch, he takes this information and he sends it down to FBI agent John Smith, and then we find out that the judge that presided over the case, Judge Christine Arguelle, she also used to be a partner at Holland.
That's crazy.
And exactly, because when all this is brought to her attention, you say, hey, Judge, just in case you forgot, you used to be a partner at this firm that's bringing all these allegations, that's bringing all this stuff about. Why don't you recuse yourself? Well, she makes a statement. Well, I only knew Greg Goldberg in passing, you know,
right.
this and that. Well, Greg Goldberg made a statement in the Denver Post when Christine Arguelle was up for her judgeship, and he says, I know Christine Arguelle very well. I believe she'll be a good federal judge. So how do you have one party saying, oh, yeah, I know them very well? She's lying, saying, I barely
That's
know
it.
Him, only knew him in passing. But the bottom line, you know, we could try to use our opinion on whether she should have or whether she shouldn't. Well, let's go
right.
to what the law says.
Right.
The law says that if there is any implications of an impropriety, if there's an implication of a conflict of interest, that a judge should step down to ensure
exactly.
that the public, that their trust is maintained in the judicial system and those who are supposed to uphold the law. Well, this is no implication. This is, you used to be a partner
That's
at this
right.
law firm. Step aside. But she would not. What she did do was insured and assisted Matthew Kirsch in prosecuting the guys and ensuring that their evidence wasn't presented, their expert witnesses weren't presented.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you look at the LaWanna Clark case with this handwriting expert, you look at the IRP 6 case and you see that a expert witness named Andrew Albarelli was not allowed to basically say that what these staffing companies are saying, what the government is saying about how staffing works, that it is a falsehood. Now, he's been in the staffing industry as a chief executive for 15 years. He's dealt with staffing companies. He's a retired veteran from the armed services. He was up for Entrepreneur of the Year. He's got all these accolades.
He had the credentials.
Yeah, he's got all these credentials laying out there. But when he got on the stand and his name was mentioned, Matthew Kirsch objected, and the judge ensured that he stepped down off the stand, never to be able to testify. And when we talked to a defense attorney, this defense attorney said, if they had just heard of Andrew Albarelli at the moment that he stepped on the stand, that the very least the judge should have done was call a recess, said, hey, let's get the prosecutor and let's get the defense, let's sit this witness down, let's basically grill him and bet him to ensure that he is the expert that he says he is in the industry, and then we can prove right here, right now, whether he's able to speak
right.
to these issues. But instead, Matthew Kirsch says, well, he didn't present his credentials in time, and she dismisses him, when, in fact, he presented his credentials 3 months ahead of time,
yep.
sent it to the U.S.
Yep.
Attorney's Office, and they still looked over that.
Well, they played on a technicality
right, on a
there.
Technicality. When you have the defense's interest is supposed to be at heart in any case. It's
right.
supposed to be, you're supposed to be innocent in anything.
The constitutional
that can,
right
exactly.
of the person. What is it? You're assumed innocent?
Your presumption of
innocence
until you're
proven
to be guilty. Well, that was thrown out the window.
Oh, yeah.
And Judge Arguelle just ensured that this evidence of an expert witness, that other evidence that the Silk software was valid, that all these things were never presented to the jury.
And Cliff, let me interject something right there. I mean, I was, you know, each week, you just, as you go back and look at the IRP 6 case, it just kind of, you find something else, and you'll come across something else here or there. And as you were saying, attorney Greg Goldberg, he took what Susan Holland was saying, and he crafted a plan to bring the IRP 6 down. Now, you know what's so sick about that is the fact that, like you said, he worked in the U.S. Attorney's Office. He was an assistant U.S. attorney. Now, Holland and Hart, they have a whole division within that law firm that is set up to assist corporations and executives in defending themselves against these very types of charges. Mm-hmm. That's what Greg Goldberg does now for a living.
Right.
So he took what their law firm is supposed to do mm-hmm. and help defend people in this situation, but he took the knowledge that he had as a prosecutor, crafted a plan, hand-carried it over. And I like what Jay Arrington said.
Yeah.
He said, I wonder why he hand-carried it over, because he probably knew that what he was doing was
mail fraud
and wire fraud. So it's like, I'm not getting ready to stick this in the mail, because I know that you know what I'm doing ain't quite right.
That's right.
And you know, that is sickening when you have a law firm that is what that's what they do. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that they do.
Right.
And then you have one of the attorneys in that law firm mm-hmm. now going after a business that is conducting legitimate business, developing a viable product. You have people who are saying that it is a legitimate business and developing a viable product, yet you're taking the knowledge that you have that from your years of experience as a prosecutor and saying, hey, go after these guys, and then you call in favors with one of your friends, Matt Curtis.
And see, that's another thing with that, too, that keeps coming to my mind. With all the lawyers that they have in that particular area, why him?
Why him?
Why mm-hmm. him?
Why Arguello?
Okay, why?
Exactly.
Right, and it's because that's who Susan Holland knows there. That's her buddy. That's her inroad to the law firm to say, hey, you know, either I got a skeleton in the closet or I need to call in a favor, but we need to ensure that this stuff gets pushed up to the U.S. Attorney's Office, and that's where he used to work. So it's all this crafted web
of lies and deceit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it gets pushed all the way up. And the other part about it is that when this issue was brought to the FBI's attention,
right,
when one of the staffing companies went to the FBI and said, hey, you know, I've been dealing with IRP solutions. This is what's going on. This is what I'm thinking. I need to know you guys to investigate and see if there's a scam, where they investigated.
Mm-hmm.
They sent back a letter.
And this was after the raid.
This was after
the raid. The raid occurred in 2005. We didn't say that earlier, but the raid occurred in 2005 when the FBI came in and took, you know, basically 21 armed agents, raided IRP Solutions. But after the fact,
you know, one of the staffing companies reaches out to the FBI, says, hey, this company, IRP Solutions, I was doing business with them as well. You need to investigate this. And see, it shows how they're not communicating, but even with that, it's like there was this hidden investigation going on with John Smith and U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch,
mm-hmm.
because the FBI up in Denver says, hey, we looked at what you sent us, and based on what you have, we don't see any criminal activity. This is a civil issue. You need to go deal with this in civil court. They owe you money, and that's why we say that the IRP 6 case is a corporate debt collection case.
Yep.
It got criminalized by the FBI agent John Smith and Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch, who just persisted in ensuring that he's like, we got to take these guys down. The favor's been called in by Greg Goldberg. I got to get this prosecuted.
And you know what also, Cliff? I know that you spent some time this week going back looking at the indictment, as I did as well. And the indictment, when you look at it, and just to show you how ridiculous this is, mm-hmm. they did, in fact, took regular, everyday, normal business activities mm-hmm. and said that because you did this several times that you committed mail and wire fraud. An example, an email is sent to a staffing company and saying, here's what IRP is about, and yes, we're looking for people with this type of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And because that email was sent to one company and then it was sent to another one, mm-hmm. a fax was sent to give more information about IRP, or they received some information from a staffing company.
Right.
And they considered that mail and wire fraud. I mean, you know, this is just crazy. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, but Cliff.
One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. So don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com, then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today. With an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to.
Then what you're
going
to do is turn onto Marcy Avenue.
Just broke up
and go past
and
the first three lights
happy
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really
then
think
five
she's
more
happy,
blocks,
but
you should be
who
there.
Am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right. That's
I'll
what
see
I
you
heard
later
last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, your host. My co-host, Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez. Also in the studio tonight, we have LaWanna Clark. She was wrongly convicted of perjury and spent 6 months in federal prison. And we also will have Judith Housley joining us here shortly. Judith is a forensics handwriting expert, and she did some analysis in the case of LaWanna Clark. And LaWanna's case is closely tied and woven in with the IRP 6 case. And let's bring LaWanna into this conversation here. And so, LaWanna, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Now, we were talking a little bit about the IRP 6 case, and you know, we've done a lot of discussion on that over the past few weeks. And we also have a lot of information in on our websites about it. Now, LaWanna, you are actually the sister of David Banks.
Yes.
And the sister-in-law of Gary Walker, a couple of the IRP-6.
Yes.
Now, you know, as we look at this case and we look at your case, it looks to us as if Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch was grasping for straws. I mean, it looks, you know, everyone looked at this thing of IRP, and it's like, this is a collection case. Now, we've talked before, so it's like no new news from the standpoint that, you know, all the guys go to the same church. We attend the same church.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsch and his investigators at one point tried to bring the church into this whole thing.
Yes.
And realized that, oh, well, I better not touch that. It was like eventually they said, well, no, the church is not under investigation. Yet, in the meantime, they had gone into banking records of the church without approval.
Mm-hmm.
They had gotten people's banking records without approval. And so they were just trying to – they just grasping for straws, like I said. Well, that'll be another whole show.
Yeah.
But as far as your situation, they tried to basically say that you took money out of the IRP business account And you indicated that that was something that you did not do. Now, let's set this foundation here.
Mm-hmm.
IRP Solutions was a startup company.
Yes.
And just like with any startup company, you know, you get, you know, friends and family involved. It's like, okay, we need to set up a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to do this, need to do that. Who has the best credit? Who, you know,
right.
Who can get a credit card, you know, to do things? And so you set up the bank account on behalf of IRP. And so, and then down the line, there came a situation where a withdrawal needed to be done in order to take care of some business situations. And you had authorized your sister to do the withdrawal.
Yes.
So now Kirsch calls you into a grand jury. They have you answer 285 questions.
Wow.
Related to this. I mean, first of all, what was that experience like? I mean, that had to just be, you're a person, you know, let's kind of paint the picture as to who LaWanna
right.
Clark is.
Mm-hmm.
You are a person that did not have a criminal record, didn't have any kind of criminal activity at all, and now you have a overzealous U.S. attorney, assistant U.S. attorney, Matthew Kirsch, tries to pull you into this thing, and now you're before a grand jury answering questions about business of IRP.
Yes, that was a very shocking, confusing time when I got the news that I needed to go to before the grand jury. I really understood what a grand jury was about. I never really knew what it really consisted of and different things. They called me in for questioning like the other people in that particular day. They asked me so many questions, and I was so confused. I was
right.
very confused.
Right.
And so they kept going back and forth, and they would ask the same questions over and over and back again.
Mm-hmm.
And you go out, and you come back in, and then they ask the same questions. And so I answered it to exactly what I felt I knew. Some things I did not remember, which
right.
I should have said at that point, no, I do not remember.
Right.
That was
But you being the honest person that you are, you're trying to answer to the best
yes,
of your ability.
I was.
You don't realize, and I believe, was it your attorney or an appellate attorney that was on your case later on, actually made the comment that Kirsch set a perjury trap for you?
Yes, he did. He did. Yes, that was stipulated. It was a very... I can't even describe once I finished, from the time we went there at 9 that morning and then I think I stayed to 5 that evening. And out of all the people that were questioned, I probably was questioned the longest. It was very, very trying. By the time I left, I had a headache that I can't even describe, and I don't even get headaches.
Right.
Wow.
I could not describe the kind of anguish, and it was just so infuriating when you sit there and you listen to all this stuff, and they're asking me questions about the IRP. I told them over and over again, I do not know the business of IRP as such. All I know is that I knew these guys. They were working hard on some software. That's what I knew. I don't understand the ins and outs
exactly.
of this kind of stuff. I never have.
Right.
Never desire to know it about it. But they I think they knew that what I said was true. They just didn't care.
Right.
It was all about...
Well, you know, one of the things that we've talked about before is that not only did they set a perjury trap for you, but it was all part of a game that they were playing in the sense that they were trying to use you as a pawn
yes.
in their you know, strategy or in their chess game, so to speak, and we've heard this before because one of the IRP 6 said that their attorney basically said that, you know, one of these guys, you know, is the one to flip.
Mm-hmm.
And they were also trying to use you to get them to flip.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, I guess under the premise that, well, you know, here's my sister or here's my dear friend or here's my sister-in-law,
mm-hmm.
you know, I can't let her go through that.
Yes.
But we've talked about it before, LaWanna, in the sense that, you know, if you're not lying about anything, you're not lying about anything,
mm-hmm.
they were not lying about anything, yet it seems as though the court system was expecting people to then lie and
yes.
say that they had done something when they hadn't.
Yes, yes. So it was you'll somebody will flip. Somebody will mess up.
Right.
And so it was the whole situation was what I mean the more it came into full play, you recognize that it was about trying to get some kind of way one of these guys will say or do something because they're not going to let their sister, who has never been in trouble, how could she possibly even be considered to go to prison? You couldn't even go there. And so my attorney Rick Kornfeld, which I thought was on my side
at first.
Because he came to me when all this at the beginning, when I came to him, and I'm thinking, well, this is not going to turn into anything. I'm thinking, well, this can't possibly turn into anything big. I just never dreamed it.
And also, you know, Matthew Kirsch stated that, you know, even though he believed out of the onslaught of questions, that three of them you perjured yourself. But look at it. He stated himself that, you know, these particular answers did not obstruct his investigation in any way. So it's like, so why do you go about to take the time and invest the taxpayer money to go after you when he himself says, well, this doesn't do anything for or against his case against the IRP6. These questions have nothing to do with these six guys. It has nothing to do with anything that went on with the business. And clearly, he's trying to entrap you
exactly
to get them on the hook saying if either one of you flip and you say that, yes, we did this, you know, like Sam said, lie about it,
right?
Or he's going to come and attack you, which is totally, totally sick.
Yeah, so it's we'll go after your sister. They're known for going after families and friends and trying to hurt people. But I wouldn't dare let those guys go through that. And if I had to go through it, I went through it because they were not going to bow to these crooks. They were just not going to do it.
Well, and you know, Luana, when the whole story comes out, and you know, this thing is going to fall like dominoes as far as the entire story. And you know, that's why we're here, you know, on a Just Cause Coast to Coast, because we want to expose these kind of things.
That's right.
And, you know, and we're going to talk about it. Cliff, you got something there real quick?
Yeah, I wanted to tell you that conservativenationmedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday. So make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. And tonight in the studio, we have Luana Clark. And talking about her wrongful conviction and how it's tied into the IRP6 case. Also joining us on the phone is Judith Housley, a forensics handwriting expert. And I wanted to bring Judith in before we go to this next hard break and get her in on this conversation, because of the fact that, you know, Luana, your case, your whole thing came down to talking about the handwriting or the signature on a withdrawal slip.
Yes.
And Judith, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Welcome to the program. Welcome to A Just Cause Coast to Coast. How are you doing this evening?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Excellent. So I know it's been a few years. When was that conviction? The sentencing was in 2010.
Yes.
I remember it was March 1st.
March 1st,
It was snowing outside in Colorado. but prior to that, and we'll set the framework a little bit, and Judith, we'll go back and talk a little bit more about how the defense attorney at the time, like Luana was saying, that she thought that the attorney, Rick Kornfeld, was on her side. And, there was a petition basically from you and from your brother and the others to say, hey, let's get a handwriting expert to do this.
Yes.
And no one wanted to do it. Well, the family brought you in at their own expense, Judith. And tell us a little bit. We got about a minute before we go to the next break. But, Judith, when you take on a case like this, what are some of the things that you're looking at and take into consideration when doing an analysis of handwriting?
Well, first you have to establish a handwriting pattern with the known authentic writing, and then you compare that to the question writing, and that's what I did in this case. I eliminated Luana, and then I also identified Yolanda Walker as the writer. Luana was not involved in this forgery at all.
And Yolanda Walker is actually the sister of Luana. And so, you know, that's one of the other things that is just an atrocity in this case, is the fact that they would not bring Yolanda on, in to testify about this as well. And so, you know, Judith, when we come out of this break, we're going to talk to you a little bit more about forensics analysis and the LaWanna Clark case. And hopefully you'll be able to stick around with us for a little while. This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We'll be right back after this message.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Conservative Nation Radio, where we still say Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Special song for LaWanna Clark, one of her favorites. Lord, lift us up where we belong. You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast right here on education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We have LaWanna Clark in the studio with us tonight talking about her wrongful conviction that and sentencing and how it's tied to the IRP 6 case. And then also on the phones we have Judith Housley, a forensics handwriting expert, who did the analysis in the LaWanna Clark case. And just before the break, we were talking about how LaWanna had given her sister permission to sign on a bank account on her behalf to make a withdrawal.
Yes, I did. I was the one that opened the account at that time because my brother-in-law didn't have, was up at the time. And I said, yeah, you can. I can open it for you. Y'all can use it for the business. Now, I never even cared about what was in there or what wasn't in there. That was, I said, I gave them permission to do that. My sister went in and signed all the time.
Your sister, Yolanda Walker. Right.
And all the time. I said, whatever you need to do, just do it. And so when I explained this in trial, everybody's looking crazy. Like, why would you dare do that? Well, if your sister's a crook and you can't trust her, doesn't mean I can't trust my sister. I could trust my sister. I knew I could. So when they kept going on and on about LaWanna Clark's signature and calling me a liar the entire time I was in trial, Matt Kirsch continued to call me a liar while he's sitting up there lying the entire time, him, the judge, and everybody else, and they're calling me a liar. to my face and in front of the jury and everybody that she signed this, which I did not sign. Had I signed it, there wouldn't have been, there shouldn't have been an issue anyway.
Exactly, it was your account.
My name was on there. Had I wanted to withdraw something, that would have been my prerogative to do so.
Right.
I did not do it. So therefore, since I've been taught to tell the truth, that's what I did in that case. And so you tell the truth, and you end up going to prison for 6 months.
And you know, Luana, one of the things that I think is just crazy is the fact that, you know, when you guys approached Attorney Kornfeld and said, hey, can we get someone to do an analysis of this? Can we, you know, pull videotape at the bank? Can we do X, Y, Z?
Yes.
And like you said, it's as if he was not willing to do the things that would clearly exonerate you.
Mm-hmm.
In comes Judith Housley. And you and the family, your family basically said, okay, we got to get someone to take a look at this.
Yes.
And Ms. Housley did an analysis of your handwriting and Yolanda's handwriting. And Ms. Housley, just before the break, you were sharing a little bit about the process of the science behind forensics handwriting analysis. And so, again, in this case, when you got called in into this case and kind of got an understanding of what was going on, you know, obviously, you play that impartial. You're not one side or the other. You're just asked to do the scientific analysis of who did this handwriting. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so, what type of process did you go through as far as you say you do an analysis of one person's handwriting versus the other?
Well, everybody has their own style. When we begin to learn to write cursively, about the age of 10. Our handwriting stays fairly copybook, and as we grow and mature, we develop our own style. And to eliminate a writer, you establish that writer's handwriting pattern, their upper strokes or lower strokes, the spacing between letters and words, the slant, all of that is to be taken into consideration. So what I did, I established a handwriting pattern with Luana, and I established one with Yolanda. And I compared the two. I eliminated Luana as writing these checks, signing these checks, but I identified Yolanda. And to do that, you compare the two together, and if you have a large number of similarities, then you're dealing with the same writer.
Right.
If you have a large number of dissimilarities, you're not dealing with the same writer. So you go back to, say, Yolanda, and you compare that, and I determined that she was the one that wrote that. But I never heard anything else about it. My job is to identify the handwriting. I'm not there to try the case or make a judgment. And if I help the client, that's fine. If I don't, that's fine too. Because you have to call it the way it is. And I deal in fraud and forgery and have for over 35 years.
So needless to say, you have the credentials to do what you do.
That's
and so as far as becoming a forensics handwriting expert, what type of qualifications and certifications and that type of thing? And I was reading your resume, and it looks like you have done work for all of the judicial system.
Yes, I'm court-appointed in Colorado, Arizona, and New Mexico. I also work in New York City. But you have to get training from a court-qualified document examiner on a one-on-one basis, because there isn't a school available to get this kind of treatment and kind of training. So you get with somebody that is court qualified and knows what they're doing, and they train you. And you go through a process of training, and sometimes it can last for several years. But in order to do that, you have to make sure that you have somebody that's qualified and trained. And that's what I did. I'm board certified through the National Association of Document Examiners, and I'm private. I'm not law enforcement. I'm a private examiner. So I work for both sides, the prosecution, as well as the public and state public defender's office, U.S. attorney's office, and like that. But it's important that you're always impartial. And with this particular case, I never did hear what happened. The document, my letter of opinion, was sent to Mr. Kornfeld, and I never heard anything else until I was contacted by Luana a few days ago. I did not know she even went to jail. But what I would like to know is, why wasn't my opinion introduced into court? Why was I called as a witness? Because I would have cleared that situation up immediately.
And rightfully so. I think that is a very valid concern.
Absolutely.
I mean, you are a board certified, 35-year experience handwriting expert, document examiner, and your opinion was not considered. And, you know, Ms. Housley, is it okay to call you Judith?
Sure, sure.
Oh, okay. All right. So as I was reviewing some of this, you know, it looks like that Mr. Kornfeld received your letter of opinion, what was it, 3 weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks prior to sentencing. Is that correct?
Yeah, 3 weeks prior to sentencing, he got your analysis back, which basically, you know, like you said, stated this was not LaWanna's handwriting. This was her sister Yolanda. And as LaWanna stated, she gave Yolanda permission to sign on her account. Kornfeld, and this is probably going to make you angry, did not turn in your findings. He had 3 weeks before LaWanna was sentenced where he still could have turned that in as exculpatory evidence and could have said, hey, judge, I've got new evidence. This is from a court-certified handwriting expert. This needs to be brought in. He did not, and hence LaWanna ended up going to prison for 6 months.
Yeah, and he didn't turn it in because the whole goal was to prison to try to get the guys to flip for them.
Right, that's because we found that Kornfeld, even at her sentencing, Kornfeld goes over, sits with Matthew Kirsch, you know, his buddy-buddy with him, laughing, giggling, sitting on his side of the courtroom. Now, how does a defense attorney go and sit with the prosecutor at the sentencing of his client? Well, we found out afterwards they were friends. They did seminars together. They did training exercises together. They basically worked hand in hand to ensure that she got convicted. And convicted with the evidence that you, your analysis from your 35-plus years of experience working with the federal government, certified in Denver in the district courts, and they walked over that, looked past it, and convicted an innocent person. And then, Judith, this is what really gets me, is that after Judge Arguello knew that this evidence was there, she said that her goal in sending LaWanna to prison was to send a strong message about perjury before the grand jury. Now, she's saying, I'm going to send the public a strong message about perjury. She knows at this point there was no perjury. And also, on another point to that, the FBI agent during the grand jury sat there, lie after lie after lie after lie that he told to the grand jury. Now, they don't get brought up on perjury charges.
No.
They don't go to prison when they are known to lie. The law says they can lie as much as they want.
Exactly.
The prosecutor can lie. They can lie in their opening statement, their closing statement.
And they did.
But when you as a defendant get caught so-called lying, they will send you to prison for perjury. And, you know, you could have basically come in and said, look, this is not LaWanna Clark's signature. And they would say, well, who are you, Ms. Housley? And when you start to, you know, rattle off your resume and give them your credentials, nobody could refute that. And yet the judge makes this statement. She's saying, well, this evidence still could have been refuted by the findings that the jury found. Well, what else could the jury have done except say, well, okay, well, we looked at the signature.
That's right.
We believe that this is her signature. Well, you base that on forensic scientists. That's like saying we're basing somebody's testimony over DNA evidence. It's the reason. And it shows that the judge, the prosecutor, and this defense attorney,
that's
Kornfeld,
right,
not all of them, we don't want to put them all in the same bucket, but Kornfeld and Matthew Kirsch and Judge Christine Arguello worked hand-in-hand to put an innocent woman in prison.
Yes, they did.
And Ms. Housley, how long does it take you to do an analysis like, you know, what was done in LaWanna's case where you have, you know, basically you have a bank withdrawal slip and then, you know, you have them go through their providing you with handwriting patterns. How long does that process take?
It depends on the case. In this particular case, I had 8 pages of a handwriting booklet that the both LaWanna and Yolanda completed. So I had ample amounts of known writing that was that I could verify because it was witnessed. And then I take the question documents and I establish that handwriting pattern. But what I don't understand is I've testified in all over the United States, particularly these three states, New Mexico, Arizona, and Colorado, and I've testified between 800 and 1,000 times. I'm board certified. I'm federal court appointed. I'm appointed by each one of the states. Why didn't they call me? I have heard nothing. I would have been more than happy to testify in this trial, but I was never notified. I didn't know what happened until a few days ago.
Wow. And we're going to get more into it, so hold that thought. Judith, stay with us if you can. You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We'll be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The White House continues to deny that President Obama lied to the country when he said repeatedly that those who liked their health insurance plans would be able to keep them under Obamacare.
The president was making a statement about the overall promise of the Affordable Care Act. 5% is on the individual market. Of that 5%, if you had a plan and your insurance company didn't cancel it, you could keep it.
Obama's top spokesman, Jay Carney, was put through the ringer again today by reporters curious to know whether Obama regrets making such a promise given the news that millions of Americans are receiving policy cancellation notices due to the Affordable Care Act's tough new requirements. Carney tried no fewer than half a dozen times today to spin Obama's words, which seem to have evolved. At a fundraiser in D.C. last night, the president added a caveat to his now famous declaration about private insurance holders. He said that if you had a plan before Obamacare came into law and you really liked that plan, what we said was you can keep it if it hasn't changed since the law passed. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. I'm Sam Thurman, your host, along with Cliff Stewart and Ethel Lopez right here on ConservativeNationMedia.com. In the studio joining us is LaWanna Clark. On the phones this evening, we have Judith Housley. LaWanna was wrongly convicted in federal court in Colorado, closely tied to the IRP6 case. And Ms. Housley was brought in as the forensic expert to analyze the signature that LaWanna was accused of lying about, that she had signed to make a withdrawal out of a business account that was her own account, and she said she didn't do it. And when, in fact, her sister, Yolanda Walker, made the withdrawal, and Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch tried to basically hang you on that, you know, by bringing you into a grand jury, throwing 280-something questions at you, and then you got indicted on the fact that he's mm-hmm. saying that you lied on three of those questions. So on the phones we have Judith Housley. Ms. Housley, you indicated just before that you have been called to testify in thousands of cases across different jurisdictions. Do you find it unusual that you were not called in this case? I mean, I'm looking at, you know, a couple of letters. You sent one letter to the defense attorney, Rick Kornfeld, back in November of 2009, and then you followed it up with another letter in January of 2010 and provided the documentation that you used to do the analysis. So is it unusual, and you know, when something strong like this and to not be called, what kind of thing goes through your mind?
It blows my mind that I wasn't called. You know, as I said, I heard nothing else about this case.
And you would think that...
I sent all the documents back by Federal Express. So Mr. Kornfeld had those documents by January the 7th.
Yes, he did.
And you would think that, you know, with the urgency in a situation like this, you have a person who is their freedom or being incarcerated is hanging in the balance based on something that is valid, and the fact that, okay, I'm reading one of the letters here, and it says that one of the processes that you use is you use a 40-power microscope, a light box, and you do a very meticulous, close examination of this type of as you do this type of analysis. And so it's not like you just looked at it and said, it looks like this person is the one based on the handwriting pattern, just, you know, that you just looked at it. But this is a close examination. There's an actual science to this.
Yes. Yeah, because you're establishing that handwriting pattern. And it's a very slow process. I'm not a prosecution witness. I'm not a defense witness. I'm impartial. And if I can't make a decision, I will say it's inconclusive. But in this particular case, I eliminated LaWanna and identified Yolanda. And I was never called or notified. And as I said, these documents were returned to Mr. Kornfeld by Federal Express. He received them January the 7th, and I included all of the documents. I never heard another word. I assumed the case settled or something.
And you know, I also see here that, you know, there are safeguards in place also to show that when the analysis is done, it's done in the presence of someone that's basically equivalent to an officer of the court. And so so that you can't have folks that are, you know, going and someone signing saying that it's one person versus another. You have safeguards in place as well. Explain that to us as far as, you know, if you're not sitting there physically watching the person do the handwriting to provide the samples for you as far as the handwriting pattern, what type of safeguards do you have in place to ensure that the signature of the people who are saying that they provided those particular signatures?
I have them either witnessed or notarized, either one. If they're notarized by a notary, that their signature is on there, that they personally witnessed it and will attest to the person that was giving that handwriting sample was the person that I'm supposed to be identifying or eliminating. And I also have, if they don't have it notarized, they have to have it witnessed. I want to be sure that the handwriting that I'm examining is LaWanna's or Yolanda's. So I was comfortable with that. And because even though they're related, their handwritings will differ because everybody has a certain
right.
pattern. So I knew right. that I was dealing with both of the people involved in this.
And Judith, can you tell us, based on your experience on the amount of cases that you've done, what is the percentage, or is there ever a case that when you sent in your evidence that it wasn't used or you weren't called to testify in a situation where, you know, it's based off of handwriting, you did the analysis, you were the expert, How many cases would you you weren't called to testify in, or your evidence that you provided was not used?
Well, not very many, because a lot of cases settle. But if the case goes to court, I am called to testify. And in this case, it went to court, and I didn't know that. And I was never called.
Wow.
So I assumed it must have settled. But I've worked on hundreds and hundreds of thousands of documents over, actually over about 38 to 40 years. So it's not like I'm a newcomer and not trained, because I am.
And they knew that. They didn't let you know anything that was going on or been settled.
No, I never heard anything.
So it's basically unheard of that a handwriting expert would be called upon to do their due diligence, provide that evidence, and then that evidence not be used. And see, the reason that I'm pushing this, Judith, is because a lot of times people, you know, they wanna say, well, you got these conspiracy theories, or, you know, this is your opinion. This is a science. This is proven technology. You were trained. You were certified. The courts use you. The prosecutor will prove that a person is guilty. But when it comes to proving a person's innocence, you just told us that it is basically unheard of that your evidence is not used, and yet they did not inform you that it wasn't going to be used. You sent via FedEx to the defense attorney. You know he got it. FedEx confirms it was delivered. It was signed. He has it in hand, and he would not use it to prove his client innocent. Now, that is judicial misconduct, prosecutorial misconduct.
Yes, it is.
Defendant,
yes.
Lack of motion. This has to make you feel like, you know, what is going on with these people up in Denver with this ring of friends, basically, up in the 10th Circuit. This is ridiculous.
Go ahead, Judith.
In 38 years of practice, this has never happened to me, not that I'm aware of.
Wow.
And when I received the phone call, I was surprised.
That is another one for the book, guys. I mean, that's one that, you know, Judith, when we think that we've seen everything related to, as far as in this case, usual, then we'll hear something else. And for you to even say that this is the first time that you've ever heard of this type of thing occurring, you know, I would almost say, is it safe to say that, you know, handwriting expertise and going to the extent that that you do, that it could almost equate to like DNA evidence? I mean, you know, it's not something that you're putting in a Petri dish, but it can, you know, it's at that level. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in a second. But go ahead, Cliff.
Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman Duke Brooks calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so. Anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your daily dosage, your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
We have Judith Housley on the phones talking about the LaWanna Clark Just Cause Coast to Coast. Now, Judith, the 10th Circuit opinion, part of it stated that the – now, I'm sure you're going to love this one – that the jury could have compared the signatures themselves and would not likely have resulted in an acquittal. I mean, what do you think? I mean, that's almost like a slap in the face to your profession.
It is. But I will tell you that your handwriting is individualized, just like your fingerprints and your DNA. It's your handwriting. Within a family, you may have a few similarities, but your own style is dominant. And so getting it wrong, if you're properly trained, is not very likely. Now, occasionally, if the handwriting is disguised or something like that, which in this case it was not, then you may have an inconclusive because you can't establish the handwriting pattern. But in this case, both of the writers did not attempt in any way to disguise or distort their handwriting. So it was clear evidence that the handwriting and the question writing were not done by LaWanna. And the fact that I never heard from the attorney, I just assumed it's settled or something. But to not call me as a witness, that just blows my mind. Because I would have helped them.
Go ahead.
Well, I would have helped them clear up the situation, and she would have been acquitted. But that apparently did not happen.
That's why they didn't call you with that.
We know she would have been acquitted. And to me, to even go to the extent, I mean, it's absurd to even for a comment to even be made that, you know, that the jury could have looked at the handwriting, the signatures themselves, and come to a conclusion they wouldn't have come to an acquittal. You know, that is totally ridiculous. We're on a Just Cause Coast to Coast awareness and information about judicial injustice. Judith, please don't go anywhere. We want to talk to you a little bit more. We're talking about the LaWanna Clark case right here on the Just Cause Coast to Coast. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sammy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman, along with Cliff Stewart, Ethel Lopez. LaWanna Clark is here in the studio with us. On the phones is Judith Housley, and we're talking about the LaWanna Clark case. Callers, you can call in at 718-305-7176, 718-305-7176, right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Ms. Housley, we were just talking about basically how the court totally disregarded your input, didn't call you as a witness, you know, really amounts to railroading. And then, like you said, you did not find out what happened after the fact. And I know just within the last couple of days or so that you found out that LaWanna actually spent 6 months in federal prison convicted of perjury charges. Yet your analysis would have acquitted her. When you heard that news, I mean... What went through your mind? I mean, I know how I feel.
I was stunned. Let me explain the process. I have never been disqualified. I've never been not allowed to testify. I've been accepted by the courts, by the prosecution, by the defense. And what I do, my job is to educate the jury or the court. If it's a jury trial, I educate the jury. If it's a bench trial, I educate the court. And I have documents that I put on a transparency screen, and I explained to the court exactly how and why I arrived at my opinion. so that they all understand where I'm coming from. And the jury and the court is also allowed to ask questions if they have a question they need answers to. But in this particular case,
so,
I was never even called. And it's not like I'm not qualified. I am.
And
being court-appointed.
You know, Judith, when you say that you have never been disqualified, that is a powerful statement.
Absolutely.
You have never been disqualified. You have been called to testify in thousands of cases and across various jurisdictions.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this case, you provide evidence. You didn't know, let's for the listeners, you didn't know LaVonna Clark, right?
I've never met her. I've never met either one of them.
And you knew nothing as far as the details of the case. I mean, you were just presented with this from the standpoint of, here is a case that's being litigated in federal court, a criminal case, and we need an analysis done. So it's not one of those things where you're calling in favors or favors were called in, and it's like, hey, we know this person, Judith Housley, and she can, you know, provide a favorable assessment as to what happened here. That's not the case.
Well,
I mean, like you said, you step into this thing impartial. It's like you're right middle of the road. You're asked to do a scientific, it's either black or white.
You know, Sam, sometimes, like I said, my opinion is favorable to the client, and sometimes it's not. You know, it's not really common, but I've had people submit their handwriting and swear they didn't do it, and they did. And I've told them, I can't assist you. But to be court-appointed where the federal and the state courts recognize me and never having been disqualified, I'm board-certified. I passed a Daubert challenge. A Daubert challenge is when the other side challenges you as an expert. I've passed that. A court in New Mexico has determined that I'm qualified. I also have case law in New Mexico, which means a case has been tried, appealed, and gone to the New Mexico Court of Appeals. As far as I know, I'm the only forensic examiner in the country that has case law. There was no reason for them not to have called me. I never even heard another word from the defense attorney, from anybody, until I was called.
And Judith, as you're talking, it kind of makes me think that, okay, let's say you're in a situation where you do an analysis, and like you said, it comes back and it's favorable for that particular client. I can see a defense attorney saying, well, I think we're not going to use that, and we're not going to even let anybody know that we have it. But when you have this type of evidence, and again, qualifying the fact that you did not know LaVonna Clark. You did not know Yolanda Walker. You didn't know and don't know the IRP6. So there was no vested interest in on your part other than just doing your job. And to have a defense attorney to not use viable evidence that would exonerate his client, you know, it even every time
shocking.
I even think about it, Judith, it's shocking is light. Shocking is a light term for it.
You know, sometimes I have defense attorneys that send me documents, and I call them back and say, hey, I can't help you. Your client's guilty. Then they're not going to call me. But in this case, when I can assist his client and to not call me it's stunning. I've never heard this before.
You look at it and you say, what is the reason that you would not represent your client? You're the defense attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you not take this? Clears your client that clearly says she did not do this. And, you know, it would be beautiful for you to get Rick Kornfield on the phone and, you know, let us listen in as you call him and say, hey, Mr. Kornfield, I did an analysis for your client, LaVonna Clark, that proved that she was innocent. I hear she went to prison for 6 months. Why don't you explain to me
why you did not use
the analysis that I did to keep her out of prison? I would love to be a fly on the wall with that conversation.
Oh, you know what, Cliff?
You and me both. I'd love to hear his answer.
Hey, he's doing normal business hours. I think we would try something like that. You know, and Judith, not only did they not call you as a witness in this situation, Kornfeld refused to put Yolanda on the stand.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah, and started from the beginning. He said at the beginning of the trial that we will definitely use Yolanda. Yolanda can get on the stand. and she can say that she is the one that signed this. She admitted to signing it and said she could say it. Then in the middle of the trial, he says, no, we're not going to call Yolanda.
Sounds like some hallway justice was going on there.
No,
sounds like Kornfeld and Kirsch and had some conversations going on. And like Cliff said, you know, when they saw each other in the courtroom, mm-hmm. it was like buddy, buddy, chummy,
yeah,
chummy.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there trying to figure out, why are you so friendly with this, with my enemy? Why are you
exactly.
so friendly? If you're on my side, why are you so friendly with my enemy? It's phenomenal. And I'm sitting there thinking, this thing's really... you just couldn't get, I couldn't grasp it, I thought. And they're laughing and talking and patting each other on the back. And well, I guess so. If I went to classes at the Denver University together, I guess I would laugh and talk together. So they, I mean, it became more and more evident that we're in this together to put you in prison. Cause he sat there when he should have objected. He didn't say a word. He just sat there.
Right. It's like, and not only did he hand you over to the prosecutor, he ensured that he objected to nothing, so that on appeal you would have
yes.
no grounds to stand on.
And then when they called in, he told me get your character witnesses. My character witnesses didn't get a chance to say anything. As soon as they started saying the kind of person I was, that Matt Kirsch stood up and they automatically okay, you're dismissed. You're dismissed.
But you
they
know,
didn't get a chance to say anything.
And you know, Luana, in this situation with Judith, this doesn't even have anything to do with even the character witness part.
No,
of
it doesn't. She doesn't even know me.
Yeah, I mean, the handwriting expertise
yeah.
and the science that goes into that mm-hmm. is going to, I mean, all of it's going to work together.
Yeah.
Granted, I mean,
yeah.
because of the fact you didn't have a record at all.
Right.
You had never done anything wrong,
mm-hmm.
yet they persisted. And we have to go back to what we talked about at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
It was a perjury trap.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I would have to say that the prosecutor and Mr. Kornfeld,
mm-hmm.
you know, however he was working on the side with the prosecution,
right.
never expected you and your family
no.
to call Judith Howard.
And he never brought up, well, why would we get a hand? Now, if you're working for somebody, that's the first thing that should have popped into your mind, that we got to get this analysis done. But he never even mentioned it. When we mentioned it, he said, no, we better not do that. It's too expensive. Well, it's not your money.
Exactly.
That is totally amazing. You know, guys, when you're listening to this story and seeing how this stuff kind of, it all rolls in with, you know, certain situations with this evidence that's not being presented and stuff like that, you know, with the CaliForensics, the software analysis
oh, yeah.
that was done.
That's a good point,
they
Ethel.
They did not allow that in either.
Hey, Judith, get mm-hmm. this. Okay, so in the IRP 6 case, there's a situation where the prosecution, well, this case is all over the place as far as, they, like we said, they were grasping for straws. That's
right.
how one of the situation came up. But even with the IRP, they tried to say that IRP was not a legitimate business, did not have a viable software. There's a company called CaliForensics that did an analysis of the case investigative life software developed by IRP.
At their request, right?
At their request.
Uh-huh.
And Judith, the CaliForensics, now credentials just like yours in the sense that Don Vilfer, who is the principal at CaliForensics, is a certified fraud examiner.
Mm-hmm.
He's also a retired FBI software forensics analyst.
Mm-hmm.
He is also an attorney. Judith, he came back with a favorable opinion of the software, stating that it was viable, it could be used by law enforcement all over the country.
Yes.
Judith, do you think they used analysis in that court?
Not even.
No.
They did not use it. And so, you know, you're in good company there, Judith, when it comes to, you know, in this case. And like we said, we thought we've heard it all. And then and then with your situation, where you provide the analysis and they come back and say, or they don't even use it. I mean, it's just like it never even happened.
It wasn't even mentioned.
Well,
but
you know, go ahead, Judith.
That defense attorney is there to protect and defend his client.
Absolutely.
He should have jumped all over my letter of opinion. Because that would have
yes.
eliminated her going to jail.
Right.
That's
and
that,
that,
you know, that this case blows my mind. It really does. I'm stunned.
And it shows you that, I mean, that statement that you made right there, I mean, as obvious as it is, it also shows that he had to be working hand in hand with Matthew Kirst to deliver her to federal prison.
That's
it's like
right.
It's like we have to do what we must to get her convicted, even if we do not allow, just like an IRP 6 case, mm-hmm. if we don't allow evidence. It is
yes.
it is totally, totally insane.
Rick Kornfeld sat there and handed me over. He lied. He is a crook. If you see any, if you even think about going to a lawyer named Rick Kornfeld, you better find out which Rick Kornfeld it is, because he is no good.
You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. We have Judith Housley on the phones, and LaWanna Clark is here in the studio, and we will be right back after a couple of messages here.
Let's assume that if you're listening to ConservativeNationMedia.com that you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline of those essentials is right here at ConservativeNationMedia.com. Just go to our website, ConservativeNationMedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. They'll take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativemedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at TeaPartyCommunity.com.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the program. This is the Just Cause Coast to Coast. I'm Sam Thurman. In the studio this evening, we have LaWanna Clark in federal court in Colorado. And Judith Housley is on the phone. She is a forensics handwriting expert who provided evidence that could have exonerated LaWanna and could have prevented LaWanna from spending 6 months away from her family in Phoenix, Arizona, in a federal prison camp for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And Judith's evidence was not used by the attorney. It was not considered by the court. In fact, the court basically said that the jury can look at these handwriting and make a decision and would not have come back with an acquittal. And, you know, to that point, Judith, one of the things that happened also is that uh, the federal prosecutor, Assistant U.S. Attorney Matthew Kirsch, he stood before the jury and held up the withdrawal slip and stated that this is LaWanna Clark's signature. He emphatically, as a matter of fact, and matter-of-factly stated that this is LaWanna Clark's signature. He was trying so hard to convict her or get her convicted on this perjury charge, and he didn't do any type of analysis earlier about, you know, how unusual is it for someone like yourself to provide evidence and then not be called to testify. You know, is it a normal thing for an attorney to stand before a jury and just say that, no, this is in fact this, without having any type of proof?
I've never heard of that before. And if the attorney is not a forensic examiner, his opinion should not be introduced into court.
Right, and the only reason you say many implications of the crooked relationships that are going on with Kornfeld and Kirsch, because the only reason he could stand there and know that I can make this assertion, I can say this is LaWanna Clark's signature, and just say it carte blanche, and knowing that Kornfeld's not going to object. He mm-mm. he already had to have that understanding that I'm going to say this, he's not going to object, because
right.
he could have made an objection and said, you know, any type of objection, that is that's your opinion, you know, that's conjecture, Your Honor, there's no going on. He could have grilled him in front of the jury by making that statement with no evidence. But it just shows how they came together, and he's like, hey, Rick Kornfeld, I'm going to make this statement and call her a liar continually and say that this is her signature, and you just sit there and be quiet and don't object. It is totally disgusting that you have someone who calls themselves a defense attorney, and they sit there and knowing that their client is innocent and say, okay, Kirsch, you're going to put her in prison. I'm just going to sit back and be quiet and let you do what you need.
Go ahead.
And
Luana.
He made the statement that.
Who made that statement?
Kornfeld. He made that statement
to one of outside of the courtroom.
Yes, yes. He said, well, I know she's innocent.
Well, and you know, one of the attorneys for one of the IRP-6, now, Judith, here's another one that's going to be a slap in the face to forensic science, is the fact that one of the other court-appointed attorneys for one of the IRP-6 made a comment as well. He said, I don't care if there is evidence that could prove LaWanna's innocence. She's going to do some jail time. This whole thing is cracked up to be, like Cliff was saying, it's a railroad job. I mean, all the ducks were lined up and they got all the players on board to play. And going back to my question I was asking earlier, Judith, as far as a prosecutor standing before a jury, you know, I think it goes back to the thing that you brought up earlier about qualification. If a prosecutor is not qualified to speak to these subjects, his comments and his opinions should not even be allowed in court. On the other hand, yourself, you've never been disqualified. To me, that is powerful.
You know, Sam, I had a case in New Mexico several years ago, and this was in Santa Fe. It was a car title that had been forged, and the plaintiff told the court, this is not an authentic signature, because the person that allegedly wrote this is deceased. And the court said, you have to get a certified forensic document examiner to come in and testify, because the court cannot take a layperson's opinion. I had to go to Santa Fe and testify that it was not authentic because the handwriting did not match. But the fact is, the man was deceased, but the court still had to have a forensic examiner to testify in that case. There is no way that the court should have allowed the prosecutor to say that this is LaWanna's handwriting if that individual is not a board-certified forensic examiner. That's just the court of law. New Mexico didn't allow it, and I can't believe that Colorado would either.
That is so powerful, because now it brings into the fact. Now, Judge Christine Arguello, it's like you're the judge. You're representing the court in the law. You are there to referee and ensure. I mean, hey, wait a minute, prosecutor. You're not a certified forensics analyst. You're not a handwriting expert. You cannot make that statement. But instead, the judge says nothing. The defense attorney says nothing. It's like all three of them know. It's like Matt Kirsch, like, hey, you guys, I'm going to call her a liar. I'm going to say she wrote this. Mm-hmm. Judge Arguello, you sit on the bench and you shut up and don't say anything about it. Cornfield, you don't say anything about it. Everybody else in the courtroom doesn't have a clue that this is how the law works. So you hand over your client, and the judge is going to allow to do everything crooked that I want to ensure that you can hand over your client. That is totally, totally disgusting, and it just – and see, this is another thing, Judith, that the Judge Christine Arguello, she presided over LaWanna's case, and she also presided over the IRP6 case. So you have this whole little web of friends.
And Kirsch.
And Kirsch prosecuted both of them as well. It's like, how does the same judge and the same prosecutor get both cases? There's already bias there.
I can't believe that the court would allow the prosecutor to say something like that if he's not trained.
Yeah, exactly. It makes absolutely no sense. But with Judge Christine Arguello being here representing the court, she allowed it. And Cornfield was in on it as well and said nothing to it. This is appalling, to say the least.
Well, and you know, Cliff, also one other thing on that is the fact that, and LaWanna, correct me if I'm misstating here, but Cornfield, he was actually a paid attorney initially, right?
Yes.
So you were paying for appointed attorney initially.
Yeah, initially, no. And then when we knew we had to go to trial, we were going to get another court appointed.
And
he actually requested
to stay.
He said, please don't do that. No, you don't want to have to go through that of trying to get another attorney that doesn't know the case. So I'll gladly. And I said, well, that is so nice of you, not knowing that he was going to set me up.
Yeah, and you know, that stinks, because of the fact that, again, going back to what was said by, I believe, was it John Klein who came in as far as on the appellate side of it?
Mm-hmm.
And Attorney Klein, he actually said that, you know, that for you.
Yes.
So here you got a formula where you got a prosecutor who is grasping for straws,
mm-hmm.
who presents 280-something questions to you.
Yes.
Finally gets a grand jury to indict you on three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's evidence that would help to exonerate you. And he doesn't use it, but then he has a – I like to use the term Cliff uses when he's making reference to the FBI agent, a crony.
Right.
Yes.
Crony corny.
Yeah.
And
that's right.
And uses him as part of this thing. Judith, stay right there. Go ahead, Cliff.
Oh, if you love Conservative Nation, Conservative Internet Radio as much as we do, then you already know about the Grit and Grace radio show. Jennifer Meadows has been carrying a conservative message on the net for years, and now she's here on conservativenationmedia.com. Join Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for solid American patriotism, unapologetic commentary, the latest news, and conservative analysis with a good dose of plain old-fashioned fun. That's Grit and Grace every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins.
This is a Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. ConservativeNationMedia.com. I'm Sam Thurman, your host. On the phones, we have Judith Housley, a forensic handwriting expert who did an analysis in the LaWanna Clark case, which is also tied to the IRP6 case, which several of you who are listening in have heard about this case before. Now, Ms. Housley, not to put you on the spot, but in your 35 years of experience of doing this, can you come up with another one that's close to this? I mean, you gave us the sample of the a few minutes ago where you had a deceased person, and the court said that, no, we still need to have a handwriting. Wildest.
That's true.
The most wild case that you could come up with. You know, give me one that even comes close to this one.
I'm sorry, I don't have one. I've never heard of this before.
That's exactly why I asked that question.
And Judith, when we were all, you know, all there when this happened to LaWanna, and we saw how Cornfield turned her over, and LaWanna's mom is listening to the show right now, and she just sent a message in that she just is feeling – this is making her sick to hear who was the defense attorney – set up her daughter to basically be turned over
That's
to the prosecutor, and that the court stood by, did absolutely nothing to ensure that an innocent person goes to prison. I mean, you're talking about I've been on LaWanna for somewhere between 20 and 25 years, and you're talking about a person who not just doesn't have a criminal record, but lives her life to try to better the lives of others. And to see how this happened, you've never seen this type of thing happen in your career of over 35 years. It is sickening to us. Mm. It's sickening to her. Her mother is heartbroken about what's going on, and I'm sure this is just bringing back all the things that happened during that time, the 6 months that she was placed.
Well, Sam, what happens now? Does LaWanna have a chance to get justice?
Well, you know, Judith, we were talking to one of our attorneys yesterday, a couple of days ago, about that. As Mark Garagos is part of the Just Cause team as far as some of the other things we're working on with regard to 200 pages of transcript missing. And we were asking Mark about that. And, you know, the statute of limitations has been exhausted. So we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a moment. You're tuned to a Just Cause Coast to Coast. Judith, don't go anywhere. We're on the downside of the show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the app.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
A Just Cause Coast to Coast. We have LaWanna Clark here in the studio with us this evening. Wrongly convicted in federal court in Colorado. And we're talking with Judith. Did a handwriting analysis that would have exonerated Mrs. Clark. And Ms. Housley's evidence was not, her analysis was not considered in the court. It was not presented by the defense attorney. It was not used. Ms. Housley was not called to testify. Ms. Housley has never been disqualified as an expert in a court proceeding. She has over 35 years of experience. Cliff, this whole thing just stinks, man. I tell you, it's
oh yeah. It the more we talk, she gives us, the more it just makes you angry about everything that happened. I mean, we had known that yeah, you know, Juana got railroaded.
We knew that.
That all of this was done wrong, that she got handed over. But to hear it in these type of specifics and this level of detail, something needs to happen up there in Denver.
And, you know, we didn't even do a pre-call or any pre-screening or anything with Ms. Housley other than just a introductory thing. I think I called you the other day, Judith, and asked you, you know, would you consider being on our show? And you so with it. But, you know, just to have you share with us now, you know, some of the things that, you know, what the really deep-seated corruption that we're being exposed here is crazy. You know, as far as the statute of limitations, you know, we were talking about that earlier, and I know that what we were talking yesterday on the phone with our attorney, Mark Garagos, and Mark was stating that, you know, the statute of limitations, at least I guess on the federal side, had been exhausted. So Judith, your experience that I guess in some of the state situations is slightly different. Judith, you still there?
Oh, yes. I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was asking as far as statute of limitations, some of the things that you've been exposed to with when it comes to statute of limitations in these types of cases. What has been your experience on that?
Well, I've never had a case like this. And it's just amazing to me that when somebody's been wrongly accused and spent 6 months in federal jail, prison, why they don't have some
guess,
kind of
too,
recourse.
That,
I don't understand that.
Yeah, and I guess that is a good point from the standpoint that if you have evidence and you provided that evidence, either it's used or it's not, and if it's used to help to exonerate a person or help clear a person, then you wouldn't see a situation like this where it goes its full course and a person actually goes to prison. Okay, let's go to the phones, Cliff. Who do we have there on the phones?
We have Brenda. Brenda, are you with us?
Brenda, welcome to the program. You're on a Just Cause Coast to Coast.
Hello, Brenda, are you with us?
Okay, well, we lost Brenda, so...
Okay, well, we have another caller from 601 area code.
Okay, caller, are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
Yes, can you state your name?
Can
and
you
what's
hear me?
Your comment? Yes, we hear you.
Hey, this is Jennifer calling from Grit and Grace Radio Show. My show is about to start. Got about 10 minutes. Just wanted to encourage people to listen in. Sounds like you guys have been having a great show.
Yeah, what's on your docket for your show this week, Jennifer?
Well, we're going to be talking about all the fun stuff. We're going to be talking about Obamacare, of course, what everyone has been talking about. And
right.
Also... kind of a little bit talking. I actually am in the South. I'm actually in Oxford, Mississippi. So we're going to be talking a little bit about Southern culture and talking about Kanye West and how and why he's decided to put the Confederate flag on his gear for his featured album. So a little bit of controversy there. So we're going to be discussing that and a little bit of Southern culture tonight.
Okay. You going to have any guests on there tonight, Jennifer?
I sure am. A friend of mine from Connecticut, she's a radio personality, Lisa Richards from Rock and Roll Politics. So it's kind of funny because she's going to get to weigh in on Southern culture. Makes a lot of sense being that she's from Connecticut. But you know what? She's an outsider. So I'm feeling, you know what, she can probably see us a little better than maybe we can see ourselves. So.
Yeah,
would love to encourage your listeners to listen to our show tonight, and feel free to call in at 646-200-3980. And I got to run, guys. I'm going to call back in next week, maybe a little earlier next time so I can listen in to a little more of your show.
All right. Sounds good. That's Jennifer Meadows from Grit and Grace. She'll be following us right here on Conservative Nation Media at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 Central, for some solid American patriotism and unapologetic commentary. Jennifer, good luck on
That's
your show
right.
tonight. All right. Hey.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. Hey,
bye-bye.
Judith.
Yes.
So, Judith, we are, like, getting on within the last few minutes of our program, and I know you're going to be joining us on Thursday evening as well. So, you know, in a nutshell, give us your closing thoughts as to this case and, you know, the thing that should normally happen in a case where forensic science is looked at. You go to it for a reason. It's because it's going to either prove or disprove something. In this case, it was LaWanna Clark's innocence, and it was totally disregarded. Your closing thoughts, Judith?
I don't see how the statute of limitations can apply when it's something this severe. But, you know, state law and federal law, I don't know how you're going to get around that. But I would think spending 6 months in jail with the stigma of being in jail and being charged with a crime, how can that be the statute of limitations? I'm not an attorney, so I don't know that. But I think justice should prevail, and I don't know how that's going to happen.
And that's one of the things that a just cause is gone after. I mean, when you have things like, this evidence was brought up after the fact. Well, a person is in prison. If my evidence says that I'm innocent, then I'm innocent. Well, you know, a statute of limitations. You're not allowed to be exonerated because you waited too long to go after the crooks that made you spend 6 months in jail or however long. I mean, we have people who, you know, you see people get out, they spent 20, 30, 40 years in prison, and they say, well, the statute of limitations, you can't go after them. If you go to prison wrongfully, that you should be able to come after them, and they should be tried with the same law and be faced with the same type of time that you spent. If you make somebody spend 20 years in prison wrongfully, you should go to prison for 20 years.
You know, that's one of the things that a just cause need to absolutely work on is that statute of limitation thing. I mean, how do you put a statute of limitations on somebody's life? You know,
that's
right. That is just beyond me.
And LaWanna, you know,
I don't think the statute of limitations should apply.
Absolutely
not. Not on something like this. When you're wrongly accused of a crime, and why don't you have the right to defend yourself? Forget the statute of limitations.
That's right.
That should apply to being wrongly accused of something and spending 6 months in jail. That's just my personal opinion.
And Judith, you know, if it comes down to we are able to get a civil, lawsuit to get LaWanna's name cleared, we would like to be able to depend on you to be able to be called as a witness to basically testify to everything that you have here to bring up, you know, your credentials, the evidence that you presented, and just know that, you know, we're fighting for assurance that you will be there.
You can count on it. If that happens, I will be there.
And Judith, I appreciate that.
I
look at you now. I look at you now as a vital and key member of the Just Cause team here. I mean, you're a valuable member and bring a lot of insight to those types of processes. LaWanna, your closing thoughts.
Yes, I believe in the Bible when it says you reap what you sow. And I know that God is going to avenge my brothers. I know that everything is going to be taken care of because God is thank him for this chance to be here. And I know he's going to do what he has to do.
You're tuned to A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring you education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. And tonight we want to thank LaWanna Clark for being in the studio with us and sharing her story of the wrongful conviction and how it's tied to the IRP6 case. Judith Housley, forensic handwriting expert, thanks for joining the show and being a valuable part of this conversation and this dialogue. And also, folks, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us on Facebook. Join us again right here on Conservative for a Just Cause Coast to Coast next week from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Ethel, we got that phone campaign still going on at Eric Holder's office.
Absolutely.
What's that number?
Absolutely. People, please reach out. Eric Holder's office is 202-514-2003. Give him a call.
And the latest press releases, you can go out to www.a-justcause.com and find out the latest things that's going on with the IRP6 case. And you can also go to prweb.com, put in IRP6 in the search, and you'll pull up information.
Say thank you to our crew, to J&D, K&D Productions, Dustin Jackson, and Captain Kyle in the back, being assisted by Il Skillo's girl. We appreciate your help to the AJC Coast to Coast Media Production Support Team. Couldn't do it without you. And to the truth, we know you're out there, that you're on our side, and we appreciate it.
Folks out there in Congress and folks out there who are in public office, if you know how to get some of this, some action on some kind of stuff, give us a call, 855-529-4252. A Just Cause Coast to Coast. We'll see you next week. Good night, America.